We're going to pick up again in Sharabusha. We are holding at Yesh Mevayesh Es Chavero. Skipping that little paragraph, I did see it in the English, you know, but it translates the words, and I still don't really understand it. So Yesh Mevayesh Es Chavero. So let's pick up from there. Yesh Mevayesh Es Chavero. Sometimes a person will embarrass somebody else. It's not even because you have anything against the guy. You're not embarrassing him because you don't like him, or because you're interested in making fun of him, or you're interested in making him suffer. It's because you're feeling embarrassed, and there's a phrase, misery loves company. So if you're feeling embarrassed, one of the most comforting things that you can do to make yourself feel better when you're feeling embarrassed is bring someone else into the busha together with you. Why did you do that? Well, he did it too! So that makes you feel better about yourself, because he did it too. Kigon, shuos edvar busha, you did something terribly embarrassing. Va'omer, and they say, ma sisi, or he says to himself, what did I do? Fellow ploni ploni yosu kumoni, the other guy did it also. So if the other guy also did it, then what I did must have not been so bad, and therefore it takes away a little bit of the busha. Where does busha come from? Busha comes from the fact that you feel like you're different than everybody else. People don't like to feel that they're sticking out, that they're different than everybody else. So when I do something that's not acceptable, it's not min hanimus, it's not the accepted way of behaving, so that embarrasses me. That makes me feel embarrassed because I'm doing something that everyone else looks at as different. But as soon as enough people do the thing that's different, or the thing that's not considered appropriate, that's not considered, so then it becomes less inappropriate because it's what everyone does now. So as soon as I bring someone else into my group, oh, that guy did it too, then mimele, my feelings of busha are significantly weakened. That's the way of a guy lightening up his own burden of busha. And there are three reasons why this is a terrible thing to do. And when a person does something wrong, to just find someone else who also did it and point the finger at them that they did it as well. Three reasons why it's a terrible thing to do. Ha'achas, first reason is shumevayish acherim b'shvil hana'asa. He's embarrassing someone else for nothing other than his own pleasure, his own benefit. Meaning he's embarrassing someone else not because the person deserves to be embarrassed, just because it's going to make him feel better. There's no greater sign of low self-esteem than a person who does that, than a person who feels the need to bring others down in order to bring himself up. That's what Rabbi Kamenetsky used to always tell us, that most balei gaiva are not true balei gaiva. Most balei gaiva suffer from terribly low self-esteem. I think he holds all balei gaiva. I would say most balei gaiva suffer from terribly low self-esteem, and they constantly need to bring other people down just to make themselves feel good, because otherwise they can't feel good about themselves. And they're just not well adjusted. They just don't feel good about themselves, and they do these terrible things, embarrassing other people, just so that they can give a little jolt of self-esteem, which it fades very quickly because it's not real. So they need more and more of it. So they have to keep on putting other people down in order to make themselves feel better. And you know, if you look at it from that perspective, as big a turnoff as it is when you meet someone who does these kinds of things, who's a balgaiva like that, and who puts other people down and humiliates other people, and as upsetting as it is and annoying as it is, and you know, as much as you want to despise someone who does that, the overriding emotion should probably be to pity a person like that, to feel so terribly for a person like that, that they suffer from such low self-esteem that that's what they need to do in order to make themselves feel good. That's nebuch, that a person has to resort to that they never developed a proper sense of self to be comfortable in their own skin. So that's one thing, that he's bringing someone else down just so that he could feel better about himself. That's one reason that it's terrible. Vashnia, the second reason it's terrible to point a finger at somebody else when you do something wrong, is shehu miskashebazel lashuv. It makes it so much harder to do tshuva for your averos when you get the sense that you're not alone and that this is just a thing that people do. Yeah, everyone does this. So why do I have to do tshuva for it? Ki achshav, a person's going to think, Mel Sisi, what's the big deal? Halo gam ploni ploni asukach. That guy does it, so why is this a big deal? It's not a big deal. I must not have to do tshuva. The Rambam is a whole perek in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam is 10 prakim in Hilchos Tshuva. Salvechik said in the name of his grandfather that the Rambam Dafka set it up as 10 prakim, so as a Seder Limud for Aseres Yimei Tshuva. You're supposed to learn one parak a day throughout the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. He has an entire parak, I think it's the fourth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Dvarim HaMa'akvim Es HaTshuva, things that you can't do tshuva for. Categories of averos, 24 things that you can't do, that you can't do tshuva for, and he breaks it down into categories. Some of these things are averos that are too chamer, they're just too strict, too severe to possibly do tshuva for, which is hard to imagine, because on that list is not murder or avodah zarah or gilui arayos. There are things that are too severe to do tshuva for, but none of those three are on the list. That's an interesting limud as to what makes the list of too severe. And on the list are things that, not that it's impossible to do tshuva for, but that a person just wouldn't do tshuva for, because he's never going to feel like he sinned enough that he's going to feel like he has to do tshuva. A person feels like he has to do tshuva when he realizes the first step of tshuva is hakaras hachet, to realize that you did something wrong, to take a good look at yourself and see where our shortcomings are, and then we know we have to do tshuva. But there are certain averos that they're so easy to violate and so commonly violated that we don't do tshuva from them. We're never gonna feel the motivation to do tshuva from them. For example, the Rambam gives the example of Shmiras Ha'enayim. I didn't touch, I didn't do, I just looked. So just looking, so it doesn't feel like something, doesn't feel like something that I have to do tshuva for. Because I didn't do it, it's not like I ate chazer, you know, it's not like I did an active avera. So because of that, people, he says that's one of the things that people don't do proper tshuva for, because they're not, they don't view it as an avera. So one of the examples of something that a person is not going to do tshuva for, says Yeruch HaTzadikim, is when other people are doing it also. You're not going to do tshuva for it if other people are doing it also, because if that's the practice, then it must not be that big of an avera. So if it's not that big of an avera, then I don't feel like I have to do tshuva. I'm not going to feel the amount of guilt necessary in order to do tshuva. So that's a second reason why this is a particularly terrible thing to do, because it's the kind of avera for which a person is unlikely to do tshuva. Vashlishis, the third reason that it's a terrible thing to do, shehu machti es harabim. The more you point out how many people are in your group doing this avera, you make a whole club out of the avera. It's one thing, a person has a weakness. A person is a machal Shabbos. He has a weakness for Shabbos. But to decide that he's going to make a chil Shabbos club, a chil Shabbos community, that we're going to call ourselves the community of machal Shabbos, and we're going to fight for the rights of machal Shabbos, and we're going to be able to marry other machal Shabbos, and we're going to be able to, whatever, that this is going to be a thing. This is going to be how we identify ourselves. Our identity is chil Shabbos, or any other avera, let's say. Right? So a person makes that's it's already a group, so that's machti asarabim. Why is that machti asarabim? Because there may have been someone who's thinking, should I do chil Shabbos? Should I not do chil Shabbos? It's a whole group, it's a whole movement, it's a whole thing. So that must not be that bad. If there's a whole group of people that are doing it, so I'll sign on to that group. The whole world doesn't view the avera as such a bad avera anymore, because there are groups forming, identifying themselves by this avera. So that's what this guy's doing. He's embarrassed about an avera he did. So what does he do? Grab a friend. Oh, that guy also did this avera. So now we're a group. We're two people who did an avera. Grab someone else. We're all a group of people doing the avera. Then how does the world look at it anymore? Everyone's going to view that avera as not being so serious. Because he took all busha away from doing that avera. It used to be something that was very embarrassing, and a person wouldn't want to say it. He'd want to remain in the closet about being Mechal Shabbos, but now it's something that he wants to announce to the world, that he's a Mechal Shabbos, and then the whole rest of the world is not going to view it as an Avera anymore. They're going to view it as something that's worth identifying with, and that's Machti Asarabim, and that's why it's a very terrible thing. It leads to a breakdown of society. I remember once many years ago, when I was teaching my 11th grade class, we were discussing a particular avera that there was reason to believe some of the guys were stumbling in. Let's say, for example, let's say it was gambling. Let's say it was guys were gambling too much. So by too much, I mean at all. So let's say that was the avera. It wasn't, but let's say that was the avera. So I remember I said, guys, no one's going to get in trouble. Honestly, I just want to get a sense of how big a problem this is, I said to them. By a show of hands, how many of you gamble all the time? And everyone's like looking at each other. And one guy, I remember who it was even, one guy says, Rabbi, let's not talk about the people in this room. Let's just talk about our friends. You know, the kids out, present company excluded, the average DRS 11th grader, how much he does this. I said, okay, that's a good idea. What do you think? What percentage? And the guy said 90%, something like that. It wasn't gambling, it was something, 90%, he said. So I immediately realized as soon as he said that I did a terrible thing. That by asking that question, I did a terrible thing. Because there might have been a kid in that class who was thinking, should I gamble, should I not gamble? It's a really terrible thing to do. It's addictive, it's bad, I shouldn't get involved. As soon as he hears the words 90%, so he says, well, everyone does it. All right, so it must not be so bad. That's machtias harabim. As soon as people see that it's a thing that a group of people do, that the whole world does it, it becomes a thing. I remember when I was living in Shiva's Keren B'Yavneh, there were a few kids in my year who decided it was a new thing. They took on a new minhag. They were going to go home for Shabbos Chanukah. They were going to fly back to America for Shabbos Chanukah. So first one rich kid from Lawrence did it, and then another, then his friend did it also, and then there was like, it started to, have a little bit of a domino effect. I remember how angry Mori Varabi of Silver got, and he didn't get angry often. I remember how angry, I'll never forget how angry he got. He called the special shir just a shmooze, just his shir should come for a shmooze. It was, and he's not a big Musar shmooze guy at all. And he called us all together, and he said, machti es harabim. You know what machti es harabim means? It means you do something where you're going to be mevatel zman, you're going to be mevatel the week of learning, and because you do it, it makes it okay for everyone else to do it. So then the next guy does it, the next guy does it, the next guy does it, and everyone's going to take a week off, right in the middle of his man, when there's no reason that they should be taking off from learning. And so one thing you want to, you go into Yerushalayim one day or whatever, you'll sleep in one day because you're not interested in learning. So then you're doing your own Avera. But when you make it a thing, when everyone else starts joining in, so that's Machtias HaRabim. People have to be cognizant of their own influence. A lot of times people don't realize that by modeling certain behaviors, other people follow that behavior. And then the level of the Avera becomes much, much greater. Because we do an Avera on our own, in the forest where no one can see, whatever, something like that. So it's just our Avera. It's between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if we're modeling it for other people, so that's Machtias HaRabim. That's a very, very terrible thing. That you can't do tshuva. That's one of the things that Rambam says. Can't do tshuva when you're Machtias HaRabim. Because how are you going to find everybody to get them all to do tshuva? They all did Averas, because then we can't get out of it. And that's all, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, if what you were saying about the other guy is true. Meaning someone caught you telling Lashon Hara, and you say, it wasn't just me, that guy did it too. So it's these three terrible things if that guy actually did it also, if that guy actually did the Aver of Lashon Hara, let's say. Vimu Omer Sheker Al Acherim, Kidei Lakal Boshtov. But if you lied about the other guy just to make yourself less embarrassed, it's not even true that the other guy did the Avera. Well, us Ancho Gadol B'Kaflayim, then forget about it. Then you've just, your Avera is like exploded. It's double the amount. Why? Ki Onesh HaSheker Gadol Ma'od. It's terrible to lie. Why is it so terrible to lie? Where is the Avera in the Torah to lie? So Midvar Sheker Tirchak. What's the context of Midvar Sheker Tirchak? So Midvar Sheker Tirchak is a din in Eidos, right? In Beis Din, you're not allowed to lie. In fact, the Losan Verecha Eid Shaker, you're not allowed to lie. And the Gemara in Shavuos, it gives like 11 examples or 14 examples, some incredible number of examples of how one could violate Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And none of the examples are just telling a lie, like saying, I didn't just put this watch on. None of the examples are that. All the examples are, you do something that's slightly devious, gives a false impression, this and that. And the implication is, Midvar Sheker is not just lo seshaker, Midvar Sheker tirchak. That you're not just not allowed to lie. Lying is so abhorrent and disgusting to us that we want to stay away from anything that even resembles a lie. Others say that even if you have to tell a lie, midvar sheker tirchak. I think Rav Zalman Svatskin writes in his Perush on Chumash that at least don't say words that are a blatant lie, like by Yaakov Avinu. He had to tell a lie, he had no choice. He had to pretend he was Esav. But at least don't say words that have no other perush other than the lie. Say words that somehow might be true also. Because something that's 100% unadulterated sheker, that should be foreign to us. Chazal tells Chosamo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Hashem identifies himself with Emes. Chosamo, Chosam is the signature. Signature is something that you identify yourself with that can't be forged. That this is me, this is who I am. So Chosamo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes. So is lying the worst thing a Jew can do ever? Because we're it's the worst mahu afata, you know, Hashem, we're supposed to be like Hashem. So it's not the worst. There are hierarchy of values in Judaism, and there are cases where we're told to lie, where it's appropriate to lie, where one is allowed to lie. Mishanim l'pnei hashalom, one is allowed to lie for the sake of peace. You have to be careful how you use that. Sometimes the sake of peace just like it will make my life a little easier, and I'll call that peace. But it's not really always the case. It has to be like a significant kind of shalom issue. You're allowed to lie about certain things. If you learned a lot and you don't want to say how much you learned, so you're allowed to say you learned less, right? You're allowed to be mishan about kirsa, about if you're worried that the person who was such a good host and put you up is going to be bombarded with requests to have them sleep at their house. So you're allowed to lie about where you slept or where you stayed or about how great it was so that they won't be bombarded to try to protect the people. But otherwise, lying in general is a very, very terrible thing to do. Vishu nosin dofi b'ksherim. Not only that, you're also going to cause someone else to have a bad reputation. Everyone's going to say that this other person did this Aveiro, even though they didn't do the Aveiro, because you just lied about them. Va'od harbe rostlius, a lot of bad things. Yesh mispayishim yimanim in Aveiros. Sometimes a person gets embarrassed by not doing Aveiros. Kigon, shenagum ha'che iro ba'aveiros yiduos. He lives in a community where everyone does certain Aveiros. Who doesn't go mixed swimming in community X? It's just, that's the normal thing to do. So, what, he's going to be the crazy frum guy that decides he's going to kigon, and he gives the example, apparently nothing changes. Listakel banashim mechayotzi b'zeh mishar averos. The minig in that community is everyone stares at women. So that's the minig in the... So what's he, what he means? Everyone goes mixed swimming. Everyone goes to the beach. Everyone goes and looks at women in all sorts of states of undress. And that's for the minug. That's the minug. What else does the word modern in modern orthodoxy mean, if not that? Isn't that what the definition of the word is? That's the minug. And you're not going to come with us to the beach? What's wrong with you? They embarrass a person who doesn't want to do that. And they'll mock and make fun of a person who doesn't follow in their ways. But you're not going to eat this vegetable because you think it might have a bug. There was never such an issue of eating bugs until the rabbis invented it 5 years ago. It never existed. It doesn't say in the Chumash Bal Teshaktu. Bozet tzarech l'schazik l'spol abusha. So a person has to be able to strengthen himself, to be able to handle, to tolerate busha sometimes. V'tzarech l'imana min averos, afim v'vayshu, avur min yaso. And you have to hold yourself back from doing Averos, even if they're going to embarrass you for not doing the Averos. V'chein yesh mespayish ha-mekayim mitzvah. Sometimes a person is embarrassed when he does a mitzvah. Ki yesh kama mitzvah shelo nagu olam l'kayim. There are certain mitzvahs that the minig is not like that. You know, the minig is not to do the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in every free second that you have, but the minig is that, you learn a little bit in the morning and that's enough. And you start doing these mitzvahs that other people don't do, everyone's going to laugh at the person. Why are you doing this mitzvah? No one does this. It's not even a mitzvah. It must not be a thing. I'm trying to think of examples. I don't know. What are examples of mitzvahs that people don't do? I don't know. That are rare? I don't know. Maybe Achshur Dara. We're so lucky that we live in communities where no one makes fun of people who do mitzvahs. Averus, yeah. But, I don't know. Can't think of any. Calls it tzaruch lispo l'kayma mitzvahs. You have to be able to tolerate and to do the mitzvahs. Ein laniach shum mitzvah avur busha. Don't leave any mitzvah aside because of busha. Ki tzaruch lispayish l'nei aboris baruch shetziv al mitzvahs. Because you have to be embarrassed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who told us about the mitzvahs. Ki zeh davar barur. It is something very clear. She'evet ha-melech lo yoifar mitzvahs ha-melech gam yispol busha gedola min ha-olam ha-sochim olav v'asosim ma-shetziv al ha-melech. The king tells you to go do something, and even if all the little peasants are going going to laugh at you for doing it. You know that you're doing the right thing and you better do what the king said, and you're willing to suffer the busha of all the silly little peasants who are inconsequential, rather than suffer the busha of having to report back to the king not having done what he asked you to do. Ki yishkal aboshes, you'll weigh the boshes of the two. Ki elef yodol shakal aboshes sheyizvay shalnei amelech shal yasem hashitzvo min aboshes sheyizpul min olam kshiyasem hashitzvo adonav. You'll suffer 1,000 times worse busha in front of the king than you would suffering a busha not in front of the king, from the peasants. Umisha enu sovel a busha b'mkom a mitzvah mizbayish lasos a mitzvah va'ozev derech hatova vor a busha. And a person who doesn't overcome that busha and he fails to do a mitzvah because of the busha, zu a busha rav ma'od. That's a bad kind of busha. Again, the yisod of the whole sefer is there's no such thing as a good midah or a bad midah. There's a midah that's used in a good way and used in a bad way. This is a bad way to use the midah of busha, to succumb to the busha in those circumstances. Sometimes people fail to admit the truth. That's also a very terrible thing. A lot of times in Chavrusa, you developed a mahalech, your Chavrusa developed a different mahalech, and halfway through the argument, you realize that you're dead wrong. But you can't give in. Like, you're ready, you dug your heels in already. So that's a person should not be embarrassed to be modal emes. Lav dafka about a chavrus, about arguing about anything. No matter how much you dug your heels into the machlokas, you should be interested in emes. That's a sign of a machlokas l'shem shamayim, is when a person is interested in the emes. V'cheinim yisbayish lochiach b'nei adam l'tzavos lahem al atov. Very common busha. And this is a busha about a mitzvah. That people don't like to correct other people. Someone's doing something wrong, they're doing something that's an avera, they're doing something inappropriately, and you have the ability to stop them. It's lo na'im. People are uncomfortable doing that. Or a person is sitting in front of his Rebbe and he's embarrassed to ask a question. Also very terrible. Someone is embarrassed, not going to be able to learn, he's not going to ask. That a person should not be embarrassed to ask something that he doesn't know, even if he feels like it's something he should know. How do I not know this? So embarrassing to ask. If something comes up every day, the person I ask is going to be thinking, well, what have you done every single day for the rest of your life? You ask about how do I put on tefillin? What have you been doing since you were a mitzvah? Still, don't be embarrassed to ask, because you have every day going forward that you want to know how to do it the right way. A person shouldn't be embarrassed to ask. Hein katan, hein gadol, and that's a characteristic of David HaMelech. So we ran through the end of this paragraph. I want to go back to that tomorrow. There's a lot of examples that probably we could discuss from the end of this paragraph over here, but we're out of time for today.